stand by. Good day, everyone, and welcome to today's PA Tivoli Talk, Omega Mon XE Family Update, and Tivoli Enterprise Portal Perceptions Conference Call. Today's call is being recorded. Now for opening remarks and introductions, I'd like to turn the call over to Mr. Michael Goodman. Please go ahead, sir.
Good morning, everyone. My name's Mike Goodman. I'm the product manager for the Omega Mon on Z Family and NetView for ZOS. So I welcome you to the call. The call was put together basically to cover some areas of concerns, try to bring people up to date. Obviously, it's a tough selling, competitive type of market. So we're going to try to take you through some of our updates, where we are with a little bit of the competition, some perceptions around the Tivoli Enterprise Portal. Disclaimer chart. Basically, we're going to talk a lot of things about 420, the next coming up releases, perceptions and competition. So obviously, this is internal use only. And with the competitive charts, obviously, we're not supposed to give them to any NDA or any customers, so we'll talk about that. So the contents on, as we go to chart three, which is the new announcements from IBM, the Z area, the Z10 announcement, if we go to chart four, is what we're looking at for the ZOS is to provide the day one monitoring of hyper dispatch features, Z10, and other things. So we think this is a good selling opportunity with the Z10 coming on board for both the Green Data Centers approach, central consolidated virtualization and trying to take a large amount of MIPS and put them onto ZVM and Linux on Z. So we think there's an opportunity here from the Megamon point of view to get POCs going with ZVM and Linux. We have a requirement to have the performance management, the VM performance toolkit. And we see a lot of work activities going on from the sales force calling us for support for POCs, information about the products, working with Mike Sine up there in Gaithersburg and places to take advantage of this opportunity with this new announcement from the hardware. Chart 5. So when we look at the family, we have the products listed on the right-hand side. Obviously, there's ones involving operating systems, ones involving applications, one involving mainframe networks. And as we look at it, when we look at our competition, I mean, a lot of times we're battling in hand-to-hand combat on 3270 screens. And, you know, we're obviously trying to improve that area of the business, that area of the products, so we can win the hearts and minds of the system programmers. But in many cases, what we're trying to do also is give them, move up the chain and help with sales from the 3270 and view a single instance to, you know, getting to multiple instances and providing, I guess, a better view of the enterprise, whether it's a Plex or not, for that system programmer to have many things viewed at one place. And then go up to dashboard edition to multiple domains, and eventually, you know, it would be nice to be able to position up to TBSM running on Z as the business manager or the business view of that. What we see a lot of times here is that depending on who we talk to, there's different value statements associated with every one of these different views. You know, how many, if you're running a large complex, for example, how many 3270 screens can you possibly look at to actually see what's going on within the enterprise versus having a consolidated view of a Plex and the pertinent information to understand if it's running what you would say normal or not. An easy way to get back to when I see a situation or I see an anomaly occur, an easy way to get back to the 3270 screen to actually start working on the failing instance or the area that's of concern quickly. So go to the next chart. We have dynamic workspace linking, and this is the ability, again, from the portal to follow a problem to different areas of the business. So whether you start on ZOS from a situation and you need information from IMS or move to DB2 or to storage, you can click through and actually find out, follow a way to the root cause. And this, again, is a thing where you really don't have to do a lot of interrogation or sign-ons and actually move to find the problem a little bit quicker. We move to chart seven. The other thing is the launching context. For a view, for example, of multiple areas or multiple concerns or multiple metrics, the ability to get to a 3270 screen to do productive work as our sysprogs usually like to do. So it's not, some of the debate is, you know, I need the 3270 screen, and it's some of it, the discussion is, you know, how easy is it to access versus watching the 3270 screens. Now, in my views with visits with customers, none of the sysprogs are sitting there really, you know, looking at consoles all day long. So it's more of a how can a situation be recognized and how can we as Tivoli and the Enterprise Portal get them to the failing instance quickly so they can be more productive. And also improve their awareness of what's going on around them. So if they're just focused on CICS, maybe there's an they need to know what's going on with the ZOS, or maybe they need to know what's going on DB2 because those problems could show up as affecting their Plex information, yet it might not be their problem, but at least they have the awareness around there. If we go to chart 8 basically says we are still making enhancements to 3270. I would say that in talking to customers and the view about the competition is, you know, they kind of like to use the word classic all the time. And our customers use the word classic all the time in connotation of saying that we haven't improved anything. I mean, the competition does. And they have classic, yeah, but, you know, what are they working on? You know, it's the same old stuff. So the idea of moving the term classic, I guess, to using the term 3270 to be on par with the competition, you know, should be appropriate. An example for here is for the ZOS is we just come out with a hyper dispatch management, workload management support, enclave support, ZipZap support. All these things are available in 3270. So we are improving the information for those system programmers to get this kind of information from their 3270 screens, as well as providing it, you know, at the TEP. So the debate rages on of, you know, are we stuck in a mode where we're only improving the TEP and the TEP's type of information, or are we ignoring 3270? And the answer is no, we're not ignoring 3270. We're improving that as we go. And this is based upon, you know, the customer requirements and information that we get from the field. If we go to number 9, we'll talk about the family update now. And this is the 4.2.0 releases that are coming up. You know, when we focus on, I guess the first part of that whole discussion was on visibility for the basic Tivoli strategy. The next part we're talking about is control. And obviously, we are trying to improve our quality and reduce risk. We have a lot of work going on with installability, the cataloging, and trying to make this less of a work effort for the system programmers to install our products. So areas, if we go to next chart, chart 11 I'm on now, we're really focused on continuing the integration between the multiple IBM and Tivoli products. We really need to do that between IMS and KIX, DB2, the operating system. We're constantly talking to them and trying to get a heads up on what kind of tool sets they're providing and how we can complement them. So there's constant work effort going on there. The new releases of Megamon's XE on ZOS, we're looking at RMF exploitation, new metrics. IMS is constantly working on tracing facilities and understanding locks. KIX, basically the same, a new exploitation on KIX 3.2. Storage with the expanded toolkit, RMM, JCL, a lot of the Rocket products coming in there. mainframe for networks, you know, more reporting about IP, SNA, NCP, and VM for Linux, obviously, getting the information performance toolkit and working with them to make sure that the correct information is presented so they can actually manage these environments. For ease of use, we're doing a lot of workspace rework on launching context. We're working with the single sign-on groups to have a better security aspect about that. We're also working on, for example, way events flow. Currently, if OmegaMon has a peer event and you're running on a distributed TEMS, you can send that information to Omnibus and then get back to the TEPS and TEPS screen. So we're trying to make sure that is actually working on the TEMS running on Z also. So there's a big work effort to get that back in place. There's a continued ICAT improvements, and we're working with multiple Customer Advisory Council customers for ICAT. It's a monthly call. They give requirements and ease of use requirements to us, and we work those through the plan. So we're constantly talking to customers around this area. Proving documentation. Obviously, we're putting all the messages up on Google so customers can find them with better descriptions and ease of use type of areas there. With the announcement of, in fact, from the OmegaMon point of view, the common reporting initiative is going on. I think all our products support it. We're coming out with BERT reports for all of them, samples and examples, and then we're taking requirements and information on what kind of these reports, what are customers looking for, what can we do for samples and examples in this area. From the service management synergy, I don't know if you've heard, but we'll be announcing the IBM Tivoli System Management Services Management Center on Z for at Pulse. There's a lot of work effort going on right now from the Z portfolio to make sure that this is all integrated, and since it runs on ZVM and Linux on Z, there's a good opportunity for OmegaMon for ZVM and Linux as part and parcel of the product set. And obviously, we're trying to get the day one support of new releases of OS and online systems. So if we go to chart number 12 now, these are the basic highlights of the work areas for the 4.2.0 releases. We have customers that are running 4.1.0. Obviously, it's a competitive nature. We'll talk about that later. But there are, you know, contrary to what you might have heard, we have customers that are actually doing well with this. It's not all bad news if that's all you've been hearing lately. Yes, it's competitive, but not everything's as bad as it looks. So from the OmegaMon XE for ZOS, we're looking at a rework of address space performance data. We're constantly challenged for how much CPU we use, what are the performance criteria on all our OmegaMon products. We are, unlike some of the competitors, we actually address this and let customers understand what our CPU minutes are in usage versus just not displaying them. The fine thing about it is that, yes, we can be tuned. We could be controlled, and it's a matter of understanding from a customer perspective and a sales force perspective that these are issues, but they can be controlled. We're looking for RMF integration. We're looking for more enhancements for the USS enhancements for ZFS monitor to use sockets that are going on with that area, and workload management enhancements to support the Z10 release support. So there are more details on this coming, and obviously if you need some of this information for your customers, please let me know, and we'll see what we can do to set up under an NDA a discussion of these topics. For kicks on ZOS, the big thing is historical linking between the products, being able to follow transactions through the products, snapshot capability, SLA and enhancements to understand what's going on for thresholds and tracing. Resource limitation resource limiting enhancements of moving forward, and a new Kix TS release support. So these are items, and basically, you know, from the Kix point of view, and TMON, these are work items to bring us up to speed and address some of the gaps that we currently have with the products. For KIXTG, we are looking to, unfortunately, when this product was out, we looked at KIXTG, our gateway that's basically not part of, embedded with WAS. The WAS people, Salesforce, basically sell the gateway embedded in WAS as the direction. So we're going to fix that at the 4.20 release and basically be able to manage and correlate information going through the gateway, whether it's distributed or embedded in WAS. That'll be fixing that. And as BMC and is announcing their capabilities to do this also, or are looking to do this, we actually are ahead of the game in this area for our product. For IMS, there's multiple enhancements to application trace facility, locking enhancements, bottleneck analysis into the XE interface, response time analyzing. And basically, this is, you know, addressing the gaps that we have with BMC. We understand it. We're working to do this by end of year and have all these things in place. For the trace enhancements also, we're looking to go deep within IMS. And also, there's a work effort going on basically to bolt up CAM for CICS and CAM for IMS as the horizontals. So where a transaction starts and ends, we're trying to the plan is to put these two products working together to give a clear, concise trace across the enterprise from end to end in both of these areas. So, and that's working with the CAM products. So on the next chart, chart 14, a lot of work going on in storage. As you can see here, we're looking for entering parameter data saving and resubmitting a request for different resources, more individual user authorization, generate submit JCL for any batch jobs, and you can probably just read along with this. The issue is that we're working with partners to provide a full portfolio of what is required from storage management. Be able to link to and keep up with HSM address spaces, other statuses, storage utilization, and be able to monitor this from the TEPS screen. So I have an enterprise view of what's going on with my storage areas, my storage thresholds, and what work is being going on. And basically, you know, try to get it as close to day one support as we can when we come out with the operating system support and large devices and new hardware announcements. We're going to chart 15, a megamount for mainframe networks. We've working with customers on OSA, OSA 3, OSA 2, IPsec, if that's important to your customers. A lot of customers are looking at that right now. We have monitoring enhancements in that area, obviously available in response time metrics. So reduce CPU when we're collecting information. One of the items we'll mention later is, you know, we have tools to understand what we're doing and how we're utilizing, so they need to be part of your portfolio when you go there to assure that we're not consuming too much. And VLAN support basically for OSA Express and Tolerate IP recycles. For ZM and Linux, the real support there is just trying to keep current on Celeste 10 and Red Hat 5. And as currency goes, make sure that we're current with the products, because this will be important for the IT SMCZ announcements coming forward. So that's kind of the announcements of what we're doing in highlighted bullets. Obviously, if your customers are or you need help in working this area with your customers, please let me know, and we'll try to set something up for conference calls with non-disclosures of what we're doing and what we're trying to deliver for the 4.20 timeframes. So now we're going to move on to tech perception, which is 16, and go to, I guess, your visualization part of this, but it's positioning the enterprise portal. One of the things that comes out of here is that, you know, our competition basically says that, you know, we don't need a portal server for doing our stuff. We just give you these nice green screens and 3070 information. That's all you really need. One of the things that you have to think about here from an operations point of view is that might be good for level 3, level 2 type of interactions, but in a lot of businesses at an operations level, a view of the enterprise and view of different components within the enterprise is important for them to understand, you know, where when they might have a problem, how to get to the meantime, how to get to the correct level 3 staff, how to reduce the mean time to repair, and an enterprise view is an important view as we move forward here. The TEP is also enabled for systems automation, NetView for ZOS, workload scheduler, the OmegaMon. So there's a lot of investment from Tivoli here into the TEPs and the TEP, and the ability to see these screens matched up, mashed up basically that way might provides a better operational view of what's actually going on in the enterprise at any given time versus just focusing on one instance. So, yeah, you know, the system programmers may never use a TEP, and we've been told that, or they see a TEP and they'll drop right to 3270 to try to do the problem determination. That's fine. We're enhancing the 3270s to make sure they get the right information, but from an operational help desk or operations center, understanding what's going on in the enterprise, what thresholds might be being reached, where queues are being built up between the different between the operating system or IMS or KIX or DB2, that has great value and shouldn't be diminished. So we go to chart 18. So understanding the TEP performance, the performance depends on many things. I've visited customers where their MBS agents have the lowest priority. So basically, when we're asking for information, they never get dispatched. So you have to understand when we install the customers, they basically will look at their environment and maybe the person that's doing performance or working with MVS isn't familiar with what needs to be done with OmegaMon. So don't assume that the installation or the parameters or attributes as we define it, as we would think of installing it, are actually going to happen. Depending on the installation, customers sometimes limit CPU use. There could be network delays. So all this surfaces as basically OmegaMon is performing poorly. And there's a lot of instances infrastructure behind this that could actually be reflected by OmegaMon. So it could be network delays, CPU thresholds that they don't want to give. It could be priorities. But it always shows up, and you'll, as we all know, as you know, OmegaMon doesn't perform. So there are tools available to actually find out, you know, what is the root cause? Because you just can't leave it as OmegaMon's performing poorly without getting at the root cause, because customers, in many cases, are making business decisions. Well, I'm going to limit the CPU usage of OmegaMon because those are valuable seconds I don't want to give. But that's a business decision being made by the customer and not just basically saying that, you know, OmegaMon's performing poorly. Or there's network issues of how it's set up and with bottlenecks. And it, again, is basically an infrastructure issue that reflects poorly on the product. If you go to 19, customers need this fix pack, basically known as the Nagel fix. We've called many people. You would assume that since this has been out there, that every customer has it and it's all installed, but, you know, don't take it for granted. Generally speaking, with our customers, get fixes on a lot. It takes planning. It takes change control. So not knowing that this is on might take a three-week battle to get this in place, depending on your change control mechanisms and what you can do if you go through test and dev and those type of things. So it's important to know if it's there. I would be checking it to make sure that your customers are actually using it and it's applied. Next chart is 20. There are some tuning aspects of the TEP. If you're running on AIX, there's one here. There's Redbook about it. There's abstracts and red pieces about that. If they're using a browser client, the Java heap size, basically you just look like you time out and you have to restart the TEPSOL again. So it's important to make sure your customers know what's going on here, especially if you have a since the TEPS is outboard of the Z, that it might be a different group that's actually running with the TEPS portion of this and affecting how the operators using or are familiar with the Z are working with the product. So it's a multifaceted problem or issue when you look at TEPS and TEPS performance, and it takes due diligence to understand what groups are involved, who you need to be talking to, who controls what as you move forward. There's also some tools on Opal. We just were at a customer and we're using them extensively as the example would be that how many CPU seconds, what was connected. As the customer was going through a situations review, basically they would refresh in a minute and wondered how many seconds it was taking and what CPU they were using it. And basically after they did that, they would look at actually the classic, the 3270 view, see how many seconds they did, and use these tools to see what kind of CPU utilization was being done. So the neat thing about it is during the engagement, the CPU performance team actually took adoption of these tools and are working now to understand how situations are affecting the CPU, how they might be better tuned, and basically a kind of a team effort moving forward. So we go to chart 21. We'll talk about integration. So basically, currently we have integration with systems automation, both from a 3270 and the classic point of view, for performance issues. So a way of once I discover an area that is of concern, I can highlight this and bring this up to SA to be more proactive in how I might want to move applications or automation routines around for more control. We're also looking at integration from this aspect of how to seamlessly send events or information discovered by the OmegaMon to Omnibus or TBSM, and then execute a path back to the correct TEPS and TEP workspace. So I understand and correlate between Omnibus and TEP. Where is my situation firing at? And then with a right-click, be able to go back to the 3270 screen for the failing instance or the area of concern. So we are in the process of building this out and seamlessly trying to get it down to a point where if an event hits Omnibus, I can get back to the failing instance within like two right-hand clicks. Also, the fact that the matter from an SA point of view, if you have situations firing and automation routines that can be done, be able to do that prior to actually having a failure or a threshold type of instance. So if we go to chart 23. So we're looking at system automation, basically, a way to manage situations, deactivate, acknowledge, raise alert, a way to get more proactive in what's going on. Obviously, from an SA ZOS point of view, we use a SOAP server call from the Thames back and forth to get this information. So it's documented. SA is using it, and if that, so you have an SA, the customer just tightly couples the products together. The ability to implement or integrate mainframe networks into NetView. We're working on several examples of this. This is one where I actually can put MFN, the performance monitor, into the screen so I can understand what's going on. I can roll it so I get the, from a 3270 point of view, at least I get the CUA type of screens going on. There's a work effort or sizing effort to understand if we need to go back to 3270 in this product. Currently, everything's at the TEPs and TEPs, and some customers are enjoying that. Yet we have requirements put in a 3270 screen to do some problem determination. Again, it's kind of a system programmer's point of view of doing this. So we're looking at work efforts around this moving forward. If we look at the competition now, I'm going to talk to a couple of charts where are in some of the decks out there, but not. So competition, basically, we looked at the gaps between, say, for example, an IMS BMC and what we're trying to deliver in a 420 enhancement. So one of the issues for Kix and TMON to begin with, was the historical reporting. With the 420 enhancements, we'll be partially addressed. We won't be fully there. We do have some TEP reporting and integration with the SLA service level analysis, but it's a constant work effort, and we're trying to deliver this in interim features as we move forward versus waiting for as we get stuff in a deliverable form. Bring it as early as we can to help close this gap. Another gap was near-time online history, and we feel with ITM 6.2.1 historical context that we have this gap addressed for the 420 type of summary data from multiple KICS regions and KICS connected to a collection file. For near-time resource analysis, we only had current stats for life of region, and now we're looking to enhance this also and address this with the 6.2.1 ITM enhancement capability. We had a gap with SuperTrace or Application Trace. We're addressing that with our new improvements with Application Trace facility. The 3270 monitor, multiple regions on one screen. I mean, we partially addressed that single demand 3270. And from a TEP, we can launch to different 3270 screens depending on launching context of where we need to go. Are we going to try to build all our 3270 screens, do multiple theatrics around putting all this information into one? Probably not. I mean, the information that we can get to the same instance on 3270, and again, to me, it's kind of an integration scenario of how I can find the event and how I can quickly get back to the failing resource to reduce my mean time to repair, mean time to failure, and keep moving my service levels of indication. I think that's key. Besides the fact that system programmers don't simply constantly look at screens all day long, it's only when they need to do some problem determination and work that they're actually caring about what's on the screen at that point. A gap was NAFPLEX alerts to Z-Series or distributed managers of managers. With Omnibus and TBSM integration, we're looking to close that gap. And so level of detail available, all data available at a 3270 interface. We feel the gap's addressed with a 3270 view available via TEP and launch in context that we can get to those type of things. So again, we're competing on two areas here. One is the 3270 screens, and one is how to get to that 3270 screen from TEP and get the information required at the same time. So when we go to IMS and a gap analysis between BMC and the 420 enhancements, locking information was a gap. We view the locking information now as gaps addressed. We're doing additional information, including PI and RLM locking conflicts in dependent regions. Top locker is added to global and local lock conflicts, so we address all that information in the 420 enhancement. Application debugging trace, we have improved the ATF application trace enhancements for 420. And again, as I mentioned before, both with KIX and IMS, a wrapping up of the CAM verticals with our Omegamons to do horizontal so we can get a true end-to-end view on the 420 timeframes as we announce. Automation integration partially addressed with SA for ZOS integration, but we're not tightly coupled like auto operator. And in a lot of these cases, too, it's not strictly like the BMC against IMS management versus Omegamon IMS management. There's a lot of group associations here with the products that make a head-to-head speeds and feeds battle maybe not appropriate. So you have to understand from a competitive point of view what is the total environment that we're competing against to make sure we have the right, is TDS required, for example, or is are other scheduling components required when we compete versus just the speeds and feeds on the information. But I know it's hand-to-hand combat. It's tough, but we are winning some. We're not losing them all, so that's the good thing. And the more we win, the better we are. When you look at operator assist, we're looking at how to provide this in a 3270 type of concept, probably after the 420 releases. But we don't see this as a major function. It's partially addressed in CUA, but it hasn't been moved into Classic or TIP yet. And message region details, we're not going to provide transaction count or rival rate over customer defined intervals, but we're looking at what we can do there. We'll give the details, for example, last 10, but we're looking at what we can do there in that area to get this gap addressed also. So this is how the BMC would compete with us. And in some cases, I think we're addressing all the gaps, but we still need a little bit of work there. If we go to chart 28, I want to, if you don't know, with this hand-to-hand combat, this is a great opportunity and a great offering to really understand what it's going to take to take out TMON or BMC or CA. This group is great. They can help you position what needs to be done. They can help position different things going on. If you understand ELA cycles, this is the year of the ELA cycle. So these are where the majority of ELAs are happening this year. And so to understand what all needs to be involved with your ELAs and how to be competitive and how to look at taking out the competition. Do not hesitate to call them. Make sure you understand what they are and how they can help you identify and analyze the competitive environment you're going after. So great group. Make sure you understand that they're available for you. So I'm on chart 29 now, and this is just some general background noise. We have a lot of issues, and obviously we're trying to win the hearts and minds of the system programmers that use our products. In takeouts, the common comparison is how much better the old vendor is versus the new vendor. You've got to be aware that's going to be happening. We've had cases where customers are saving money by replacing BMC with Omegamon, save themselves $1 million, but don't put any more money of that basically into training. So we give them a product, they're not trained on it, they don't know how to use it. So you got to make sure that TLC is especially happening in the early stages of the product, and understand who is disparaging and how you can might come to Jesus and meet with this on a customer level to understand the going forward strategy and what they really need. Just don't assume that it's going to happen magically. There is new learning required. Generally speaking, we give the information but present it differently. And in fact, in some cases, it might be a different tool in an IMS perspective. But unless you're aware of this, we've had cases, for example, of just basically not going to use it because I don't understand and I want my old tool back. And as a system programmer, when they become the CIO of the business, then you're definitely in a losing position. The performance TEP is slow, and the Omegamon product is responsible. As I talked before, you really got to get to root cause bottleneck. The tools will help you do this. Don't leave it unattended. Don't assume that it's going to fix itself. We have customers that have situations that aren't being used but are in error and are firing. We're looking to ship our products now with situations turned off, so that they understand when they put them on what they're actually doing versus shipping them with some of them on. And if they're not, for example, using MQI in a message environment, why is that situation being shipped turned on? So we're doing some analyzation for the 420 period to prevent this. But again, you got to get the tools off OPAL, find your CPU guys or your OmegaMon staff, and get to root cause quickly, because the longer this happens, the worse off it is for the install and the customers. And we have customers that have been using 4.1 for a while that are still running into performance problems and still needing use of these tools. Customer staffing, there's a lot of... is there a group within the customer that actually owns OmegaMon? Can you go there? Are they familiar with the situations, or are there SMEs associated with IMS, KIX, storage, COS, messaging, and they have no inkling of what's going on with TEPs and TEP and that type of information? It's basically, you know, the SME is just interested in his portfolio and not trying to look at OmegaMon across multiples, because that way you're interacting with could be five different development groups trying to do the same thing. And so it's important for you to understand how is the customer organized around OmegaMon, and see if we can help get best practices going so there is an owner regardless of what portfolio is in place. For integration, as events or peer events are generated, are they trying to use the TEP and TEPs as omnibus, or are they trying to use it as a TBSM? Are they building up nested displays, whereas basically as I click through, I am asking for refreshes, and so instead of getting to a failure quickly, I have four or five clicks before I even get to the failing TEP display that's showing me the information I want. We have to be careful of understanding that what is important for the customer on that TEP screen. Is it thresholds? Is it queuing? What is it required from an operations perspective that would give you an indication that something is being delayed with performance? And from there, maybe a quick link up to a Plex icon, but not to build nested dolls so that we have to click through the TEP screen and try to use it like TBSM or Omnibus. That will give a bad perception. It's too many clicks to get there. It takes me too long to find my data. It doesn't work like 3270. And really, the objective from a best practice is to get the event and send it to an events management system. And in our case, it'd be Omnibus. And again, from a documentation, you know, I get error message, I can't find it, and all these messages are now up on Google for them to help those type of situations. So I'm moving on to the number 30 and the customers, and 31. Basically, when will they buy? As I say, this is your year of ELA. We're looking at, when you look at total vendor displacements, monitoring, automation, scheduling, security, all those things can do that. Upgrades now coming for Z10s, for KIX and IMS are shortly, DB2, capacity adds. All these things are good times to understand when you might propose one of the family or adding to the family that's currently existing, especially with the idea of green data centers, the big movement for ZVM and Linux on Z, as part of the Z initiatives, new workloads, TCP/IP, ZVM, Linux, system upgrades, any currency upgrades. These are things that our customers will be looking at. And again, this is the year of the ELA, for at least for the Americas group. These are customer transactions. They're from 2007, where they happened. We're looking at a lot of them are deployed already. I don't have the current data status on that because I haven't been able to get the correct pulls from marketing correctly. And if you look on my plea, I guess, is on the next chart, we need more references. We do have customers that will talk to other customers about OmegaMon. They don't want to be published, but I do have customers that when accountants have been calling me, trying to set up calls and trying to facilitate discussions around references. What we need is we need more. My plea to you in the sales force is, if you have a customer that would like to talk to another customer about the products, please let me know. We will not try to abuse the privilege, but we are definitely in a mode of trying to gather these clients to help us with sales situations at other clients. So that is my plea, I guess, for the rest of 08. I think it's important for all of us. So if you have customers that are happy and stable and would willing to talk on a one-on-one basis, please let me know. So we have the last chart is basically, again, who we are, what the team is. Like I say, I'm the Mike E. Goodman here in RTP. There's two of us, so he forwards the emails to me, so that's a good thing, I guess. There's the market management team, sales and technical enablement, business partners, and the competitive team who have been doing a great job on keeping us on board and directing us on where we need to be going with the products. So with that, with the last 10 minutes, I'm going to turn it over to the operator and open it up for any dialogues or questions.
If you have a question, please press star followed by the digit 1 on your touchtone telephone. If you're using a speakerphone, please make sure your mute function is turned off to allow your signal to reach our equipment. Once again, that was star and then 1 to ask a question at this time, and we'll pause for just a moment. We'll take our first question from Clyde Richardson.
Thank you. The question I have, in looking at the presentation, the presenter itemized several things to meet the objectives and to compete with the competitors. Is there a list of those things that we, as IBMers, can have? I mean, because I don't think the slides really clearly distinguish those items that you mentioned, because you mentioned several improvements in terms of competing with MainView for the IMS, the CICS, the reporting, and those various small line items, as it were.
Yes, there are. They're on Excel. I'll try to address that as the URL to go after.
Okay.
But they are on the competitive portal, basically, and it has them listed there. So I'm basically just grabbing their two charts and the work they did and talking to them at during this deck.
Okay. Thank you.
And, Clive, I can actually send them to you also if you need them immediately.
We'll appreciate that.
Sure.
And once again, that was star and then 1 if you have a question at this time.
In fact, if anybody wants that information, just let me know and I'll send them the deck I have here.
And with no questions in the queue, I would like to give our audience one last chance to press star 1 to ask a question at this time. And we have a question from Ed Woods.
Hi, Mike. Couple questions specific to the presentation. You mentioned something early on about working with security to make security enhancements, et cetera. If I wanted to get more information on that and possibly talk to someone to be able to, you know, help guide the customer in terms of planning long-term for security, is there a contact or somebody I could talk to?
I'll dig one up.
I beg your pardon?
I'll dig one up.
Okay. That would help. I have one particular customer that we're trying to guide down that road.
And is this the workstation Windows security to RACF type of scenarios?
Exactly. You know, basically we have a customer that they're planning on rolling out the TEP.
Mm-hmm.
And right now they have a hub on Z, but long term, you know, they want to consider the options. What's better, hub on Z, hub on Windows? What are the security ramifications? What are the long-term security issues involved? Pros and cons. And so, you know, I would just like to have, you know, what's the latest and greatest in terms of planning and direction, et cetera, just so we can lay out what those pros and cons are, and then they can decide long-term where they want to be.
Got it. I'll circle back with you on that.
Okay, I appreciate that. And then the second thing is, I may have missed part of this. I couldn't, for some reason, I can't get at the slide, so I was just listening along. Have you mentioned the tip at all, tip versus TEP, and what's the prognosis on when we're going to start seeing TEP support as opposed to just TEP?
Speaking off the cuff here, that you'll start seeing TEP second half of this year.
Mm-hmm.
There's some products moving. For example, our Z SM's management console, ZMC, will be there. But as products move to it, for example, TBSM and others, Omnibus and security products, the basic strategy, UI type of strategy now is that, you know, TIP is one of the six directives that LoRa is working on as a direction. So, and TIP is basically, for everybody who doesn't understand it, Integrated Portal is the Web 2.0 type version of what things could be from a portal type of view with mashups and items like that. Some services currently running in TEP would be migrated to TIP as common services. So where services are relegated across the multiple users of a TEPs, those would be kind of pulled into a TIP function. You will be able to launch from TIP to TEP and back and forth. However, running on a TEPs console, you wouldn't be able to do the Web 2.0 stuff. So our plans right now are to, over time, make sure that we move the current functions we want and make it available in TIP for customers. But so it's so early in the announcement cycle and deliveries for the drivers and what they're working for, starting in, I think it's June of this year, that you'll probably see that rolled out over the next 09 type of area.
So it's not going to be just as simple as saying a 420 release will automatically be TIP enabled. There's going to be follow-ons after that is how it's going to happen probably.
That is correct. There's probably no TIP enablement. There is no TIP enablement in 420.
Okay. Thank you.
No problem, Ed.
Now we have a question from Clyde Richardson.
Yeah, this question is specific to slide 7, if you still have your slides available. And the question I have is, in this particular slide, it's denoted launch in context. Am I to interpret that to mean from the table that will be a link from the TEP directly into the Classic?
Correct.
Okay, and that's come with the 4.2.0?
Correct.
Okay, great. All right.
It's there already with 4.1.
It's already there with 4.1?
So I think in some of the family it exists. I'll check that.
Okay. Thank you. That's all I really had on that.
And we have no further questions at this time.
All righty. Well, I guess we'll wrap it up. I thank you for your participation, and I keep the cards and letters coming to me.
And once again, that does conclude today's conference. We thank you for your participation. Have a great day.